It's time for you to define your brand. This podcast is designed to arm you with the tools and confidence needed to build a standout brand in today's marketplace. I'm your host, Matt Crane, and I'm honored to be joined by my co-host and CEO of Rush Impact Marketing and Rush Impact Media, Jeremy Warner.
Matt, it's awesome to be here, and I'm excited to share and engage with our audience, listeners, and special guests that will be joining the show. Most importantly, I'm excited to help all of you take charge of your brand. Matt, you know what we say around here, your brand, your responsibility.
The worst thing a company can do is to have a great business and a great idea and run completely out of cash.
This week on Define Your Brand, Entrepreneur of the Year, as seen on television, and the inventor of the infomercial, Kevin Harrington joins host Matt Crane and Jeremy Warner to discuss his first business investments in the 1980s to now having successfully launched over 500 products that have generated $5 billion in sales worldwide.
You can't let failure get you down. You have to pick up the pieces, get yourself motivated again, and dust yourself off and go back at it again.
Let's all welcome Kevin Harrington to the Define Your Brand podcast show.
Well, I got to tell you, Jeremy, today's episode is going to be one that I'm personally excited about because, you know, the guest we have today is someone that needs no introduction. And when you really break down his list of accomplishments, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing what this gentleman's been able to do. Kevin Harrington, you know, once again, I want to say thank you for being on our show. You know, we're very lucky to have you here because I was able to watch you speak live for the very first time at the 10X Growth Conference, and the impression that you left on me was so overwhelming. I mean, what a way to kick off the conference.
Yep.
Because you laid out so much nuggets of information, but it was so tangible. I was literally able to take notes and walk away from those notes and understand how to implement them into my life and my business. And, you know, the purpose for us to have you on the show today and this week is to really help our listeners and viewers better understand the power of product positioning and just how they can also one day pitch their product to a shark.
Gotcha. It's always a good thing for people to understand it. And let's put it this way. Pitching to a shark doesn't mean you're on Shark Tank necessarily, right? I mean, because that's a very limited thing. But in a day-to-day experience of an entrepreneur, day-to-day life, whether they're pitching, maybe they're trying to hire some key person away from a competitor, or they're talking to their banker, you're building a website, you're always pitching, right? Certainly if you're raising money, maybe you're pitching to a shark for investment purposes. That's a very defined kind of special needs pitch. And, you know, we can go in any direction you'd like, but, you know, certainly that one is near and dear to me because I get pitched every single day, numerous times a day, some days, you know, more than others, but, it's a lot of fun. I love taking pitches, but I also, the one thing that I've learned over the last 30 years of taking thousands and tens of thousands of pitches is the average entrepreneur, no matter how good they are at building their business, the average entrepreneur really doesn't know how to do a good pitch for raising capital. That's sad, unfortunately.
Yeah. Kevin, it's with great honor to have you on the podcast, and you are a true definition of what it means to be an entrepreneur with 20 businesses and counting, each of these businesses producing over $100 million each. You are the true billion-dollar man. Kevin, you spoke about your first eureka moment with the Ginsu knife at the 10X Growth Con. Will you please share your story with our audience on how that happened?
Sure. So I was a young entrepreneur. It was 30 plus years ago. And I believe in exercising what I call curiosity overload, okay? And it's a term I coined by saying, you know, people say to me, Kevin, you were so lucky to have met this guy at such and such a show or whatever. And I'm like, you know, you program your luck. Yes, you sometimes luck happens, but if you go to a lot of places and you go to a lot of trade shows and you're exercising your curiosity, you have a chance to get lucky more often than if you're sitting at home. Okay. So the first thing I say, get out there, do it. To this day, and I, you know, I've been doing this 30 plus years, I still go to 25 plus trade shows a year. The houseware show, the hardware show, the beauty show, the fishing show, the golf show. Why? I love doing it. First of all, it's great to go out and meet and greet with all the audiences and all the people out there, but I'm looking for products. I'm looking for deals. So I started this back in the early 80s. I was a business broker. I'm going to lots of trade shows again. And so I'm at the Philadelphia Home Show and there's this crowd around this one booth. And there's a guy standing there with literally 30 people just jammed around him. And he's cutting through a Coca-Cola can with a knife. And then he's going through a muffler and a pair of sneakers. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? You know, and then he says, it's called the Ginsu knife. And it's $14.95. And people are watching and he's doing some more demos. And then he says, but for the first 10 people, you're going to get one absolutely free, two for the price of one. And then he said, but wait, there's more, right? And I'm like, okay, this is, you know, I didn't even know what I was listening to, right? Because now I understand it. And he says, for the first 10, like I said, only 10, six free steak knives. And that's when he got attacked, literally. I mean, you could tell he'd been doing this before, right? So I actually was one of the 10 people, bought the set, talking to the guy. And before I knew it, he moves me off to the side. He's got 10 more people, 15 more people standing there, and he's doing the same demo. So the bottom line is, that's the eureka moment. I saw this unbelievable pitch, and I had seen that there was some downtime on Discovery Channel, right, you know, weeks before this. I was watching TV, and all of a sudden, Discovery Channel went dark for 6 hours a day, and that's when the light bulb went off. Let me take that pitch, film it, put it on the downtime. So, and I talked to Arnold Morris right then and there. I said, you have an amazing pitch. Let's take it to the masses. And he said, Kevin, the timing's great because I do this 40 weeks a year. I'm tired of going from show to show to show. If you could just do this one time, take it to millions of people around the world. So that really was, I call, the birth of the modern day infomercial. And Arnold was one of the original guys. And then we started, you know, taking all the rest of the people in this pitch world into what are now called infomercials. We didn't even call them infomercials at the time, though.
Wow.
You know, man, there's so many questions that could come off of what he just talked about there. And you know what? We'll save that for a later time, and we'll bring Mr. Kevin Harrington back on the show. But you know, Kevin, something that I watch with you that's very unique is that you never have lost sight of being your own entrepreneur. You know, some people, when you watch them, they get to a certain status and they get to a certain level, and they you can kind of see where they get out of entrepreneurial mode and more into boss mode. And for you, every time I watch some of your content or I go back and watch some of your older pitches, especially your Shark Tank episodes, you're always in entrepreneurial frame of mind. And, you know, so yeah. I got to ask, how different is it being the entrepreneur being pitched to versus being the entrepreneur that is doing the pitching?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I try to say, you know, if you keep both hats on simultaneously, you know, that's a good thing, because I'm getting pitched and I know what I'm looking for, right? I'm looking, you know, for certain, there's 10 things that I look for, you know, and so I'm going through that checklist of, all right, it's got to be unique. It's got to be mass market. It's got to be demonstrable. It's got to have some magical transformations, right? I know what my hot buttons are. So when I meet with an investor, because I, you know, I'm always doing deals. You know, I'm involved with dozens of companies. And, you know, this past weekend, I was at the Belmont races, got home last night late from New York to Belmont. We have a venture in the horse race business. It's a horse race wagering app. And with one of the trainers who ran in the Belmont yesterday, his horse was Senior Investment. It ended up third in the Preakness, fifth at the Belmont, unfortunately, but we're raising capital on this venture. We've raised, you know, so far over $3 million has been put into this venture. We're now raising some more. And so as an entrepreneur, I'm always in money raising mode also. So, you know, one of the gentlemen that was there, his horse was senior investment. He's Paul Fireman is, I think, Fire something. He's one of the original founders of Nike with Phil Knight, like an unbelievable guy, right? And so yeah, I've had success. I invest, but then there's another league of people that are worth billions, right? And so like the, you know, the Warren Buffetts of the world, they invest a little differently, right? So, but these are the kind of people sometimes that you're pitching to. And so I just wear that hat, turn it around and say, what would I be looking for? This is what I serve up then to these investors. Now, I will tell you this, some of these investors have a little bit different kind of mentality. They may not be as worried about getting their money back quickly as they are the long-term plan. Or let's talk about kind of like, let's take Facebook, for example. When Facebook or Snapchat is raising money, they're not focused on the profits and, you know, how quick the return is. They're focused on customer acquisition and how they're building this monster business that's going to give somebody 100 or maybe 1,000 times return on their investment. Okay. So, you know, that kind of investor doesn't even, if you start talking about profits, he's going to think you're not doing it right, because they don't want to see profits. They want to see fast growth, customer acquisition. They, you know, when Mark Zuckerberg was raising money for Facebook, he said, we're going to get to 1 billion users by this time. And so that's what that kind of investor wants to hear. So you basically have to understand the sweet spot of the investor up front. So it's you know, I, as an investor, have a particular sweet spot. Mark Cuban might be a little bit different. And he is. And so, you know, I think as you understand the sweet spots, then you tailor the pitch and the, you know, the presentation to the sweet spot of that investor. And that ultimately is the art of being a good entrepreneur, is being able to modify. You know, you don't just have one pitch, one monotone, that here I am and this is what it is. When you can move on the fly and understand how you need to get that shark to write that check, and that's what I say is the biggest mistake that people make when they go on Shark Tank. They're only focused on themselves. Me, me, me. I have this business. I need money. This is why, you know, I need money. Not, how do I get you to write the check, Mr. Shark? I need to convince you that I'm a good risk and that this is a great opportunity. And, you know, how can I make this a more attractive deal to you? So I say sometimes there's ways to do that. Maybe you create an accelerated return on investment for the shark until he gets all his money back, and then you give them equity from there. So there's ways to talk to sharks, talk to investors, talk to money people that are on the fly as you're picking up, you know, what their kind of sweet spots and their hot buttons are, that if you're smart, you can make it happen. So, you know, I appreciate the comments though, and certainly, you know, I've raised hundreds of millions of dollars over the years. And a lot of times it'll start by me maybe seeding it. I'll put $250,000 in and then go raise $5 million. That, you know, that there's an advantage to doing that, because now I've got my own money invested, right? So it's paying attention to the investor, to the shark, is important.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing from Entrepreneur of the Year. This man has been voted numerous times as the Entrepreneur of the Year, Forbes, Huffington Post, Entrepreneur, Inc. magazine. I mean, the gentleman's everywhere, and you can tell in his voice. You know, everybody on Facebook is going crazy right now, Kevin, in the comment section. And I'm telling you, you can just tell in his voice that he's passionate about what he does. And, you know, and I love that, because, I mean, he's got every reason to just throttle down, right? But yet it makes him strive even harder. And I love that. So thank you for that, because there's so much great information that just come out of that right there, for sure.
Fantastic.
Well, you know, being over 30 years as an entrepreneur, and you've seen different shifts in technology and different ways of promoting and building your business. And what I like to call when we're talking about the infomercial and everything like that is the call to action. You know, right. you're doing it through TV and how the technology and how the digital world is shifting. But, you know, you made a key point at the 10X Growth Con where businesses are failing faster now than ever. You know, can you share the most important tip to help entrepreneurs today in today's digital world on and not making the same mistakes?
Yeah, good question. So I think one of the mistakes that many entrepreneurs make is they kind of get comfortable in their ways. Okay, you use the word complacent, or you know, it's just like here in my industry, you know, people. You know, we're just continuing to shoot infomercials, put them up, test them. And then we used to hit on 1 out of 3, 1 out of 4 of our projects. Then it was 1 out of 5. Then it was 1 out of 7. Then when it got to 1 out of 10, you think, wait a minute, is something going wrong here? Okay, what's the problem? From 1 out of 3 to 1 out of 10. Now, if it takes me 10 projects to test to get one to work, there's something drastically different. Now, one of the challenges was people weren't as many people watching TV. So TV viewership was dropping. In fact, it was down by 50%, but the rate stayed the same. So I had to say to myself, you know, I've got to start seeking other ways to do business, because the model of 1 out of 10, think about it this way, go to Wall Street and tell an investment banker there, a hedge fund, I need your money, and I'm going to test 10 things, and 9 of them are going to fail, and it's going to cost me $100,000 to $200,000 to test those 10 things each. So I'm going to spend $1 million to $2 million of failures before I find one that works. And they're going to tell you that's not a business model that makes sense. So the bottom line is that they have to say, you've got to then put yourself into a business model that does work. Right. So we started saying, follow the eyeballs. OK, so where do they go? They were on TV. Now they're on Facebook. They're in their Facebook. We're on Facebook right now. Right. So if you're on Facebook for 2 hours a day, you're watching 2 hours less of television, maybe. Right. So now Instagram, Snapchat, etc. So about 5 years ago, I had to take my kind of master team, and I call it my dream team that I've assembled around me, from lawyers to finance guys to hedge funds guys and people. You know, we own something called the Angel Investors Network. And so we have thousands of investors that follow us around. And so as we would mastermind with these people and with our own internal gurus and stuff, I said, we can't, this model of 1 out of 10 doesn't work. What do we got to do? So then as we started switching over to Facebook, we were finding 1 out of 10 on TV, 1 out of 2 on Facebook. It's like, oh, wow. Because now Facebook was the new way to test. And now Facebook's got more competitive. So maybe we're back to 1 out of 3, 1 out of 4. But the bottom line is we started finding new testing places. And so now we were able, it was back to the old days again. But when I go to my industry conferences, like the Electronic Retailing Conference, the Infomercial, and the SEMA TV conferences, some of these people are still dealing with the old way, the old school ways. And so I just think that, there's a saying that I've heard, and I don't know who said this originally, but if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. So, it's you have to sometimes change things up a little bit. So this is what we've done now. We're really heavy into digital, and we do a lot of stuff on the social media networks. It's a little different. The attention span of people has changed. You know, think about it this way. When I grew up as a youngster, you know, I didn't have a cell phone, a Snapchat, a computer, all different ways to communicate with friends. It was sort of like a face-to-face kind of communication. Nowadays, the kids have the attention spans of 6 to 8 seconds, and they're actually, a Microsoft study said, it's less than the attention span of a goldfish. Okay, so if you're marketing to that universe, you got to be able to get to them very quickly and make some sense pretty quickly. You don't have, in the old days with a 30-minute infomercial, we could spend 8 or 10 minutes before we even got to the call to action. Nowadays, it's much quicker. You've got to give them, you know, they've got to give them something much quicker. It's a much different universe. So we've had to adapt the places that we sell and the techniques and the styles and the kind of content that we use and the direction that we use to sell.
Yeah. So once again, everyone out there, we've got Kevin Harrington on the Define Your Brand podcast. So if you're listening right now on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Pandora, for those of you that are watching the live event on Facebook, I want you guys to get over to kevinharrington.tv. And there's one important thing that I want you to do for me. Right away, he's going to give you a downloadable ebook that is some powerful information from the original shark that you need to take advantage of. And then I want you to tour the website. There's so many amazing things that he does. He talked about his angel investor network. But ladies and gentlemen, he's involved in hundreds and hundreds of products. And there's some amazing products out there. I know one recently called the iGrow Hair Technology Revolution that you've partnered with. It's a unique concept, and it works. You know, and it was very interesting.
iGrow Laser, it's FDA cleared. So that's very, that took a long time and literally hundreds of thousands of dollars to get that clearance. It's also clinically proven for both men and women. It grows hair. It's got 100 LED lights. It's got laser lights. It's infrared technology, FDA cleared, clinically proven for men and women. I went on QVC about 18 months ago. And QVC is one of the toughest places to get approval from a legal standpoint for products. And when we first talked to them and showed them, here's a product that actually grows hair, they'd seen things like this before, but they're like, well, we're going to need a lot of proof, a lot of documentation. It took months and months and literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in clearances and studies and all of that. But now it's been a very successful product on QVC. It's done tens of millions of dollars here in the U.S. It's now on in Canada, Korea, Europe. It's a great success. But, from something like iGrow, which is a $500 hair growing helmet, to something as simple as a product that's called Global, which is a nightlight for your toilet bowl. Okay. That's something crazy. This is now a $12.95 product. It's a little thing that goes on your toilet and it's motion activated. You get close to your toilet at night and it turns the toilet on and lights it up. Right. So, that's a crazy kind of zany product, but you just never know what's out there and what might be selling. But, we have, at any one, I've done hundreds of products at any one given time. We've got dozens and dozens of products in distribution between infomercial, as seen in TV, catalogs, international distribution, shopping channels, as well as social media networks, Facebook, Instagram, et cetera. So, we all across the board, we like to, keep things hopping.
Well, Kevin, really quickly, you've had a lot of accomplishments as an entrepreneur. You've pitched a lot of products. You're involved in a lot of different ventures. Is there one that stands out to you more than the others that, man, you're just like insanely proud of? And if so, what kind of makes that the case?
Yeah. So, it's very tough to always pin down one, but I think I'll say this, because this one, it's a longstanding one for me, and it continues to bring opportunities back. I met a guy named Tony Little back in 1989, and he was a bodybuilder and a fitness guy, personal trainer. And he had this, it was a target training system that targeted body parts. Like, you could get rid of the flab under the arms or, the love handles or whatever. And so we said, let's take this. He was using it for bodybuilders who wanted, to target different body parts. And we said, if we take it to the masses, what would happen? So it became the target training system. We did the infomercial. This did over $300 million, his first infomercial ever. And that was back in 1990 then. So we met in 89, 90, we came out with target training. And then from there, we kept, that was his first one. Then we had the Ab Isolator, then the Gazelle came along. The Gazelle did over a billion with a B, dollars, okay? So Tony Little was a force of nature that I don't think the world has seen ever since. He's been, ever since the late 80s, now all the way through to 2017, he's a machine that just keeps creating projects, profits. You know, now Tony's, if you look at HSN, you'll see stuff like bison steaks and jerky and hot dogs and low carbohydrate pastas and high protein cheesecakes and massage pillows and just on and on and on. He's the health guru and he's America's personal trainer now, not just a personal trainer. He lives here in the Tampa St. Pete area. He's 1 month apart from me in age. He was born 1 month before me. We both had our 60th birthday this year. So we're both like kind of like old entrepreneurs that get together once a year, whether we need to or not, and make sure that we celebrate all the good times and the good days that we've had together. So Tony's an amazing guy, a friend, partner, and entrepreneur extraordinaire in the world of fitness.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, even us young buff millennials can remember when the Gazelle came out as an infomercial. Yeah. So that definitely tells you how powerful of a product it was, because I remember it. And I want to say it might be the first infomercial I ever saw. So
it was on for years. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for watching. Hope you bought one.
Well, I know my family had one for sure.
Yeah. Good.
Kevin, you look amazing. Years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, you know what? I love just staying young at heart. And it's, my wife says, will I ever retire? And I said, well, I will slow down at some point, but I think, you know, doing deals is part of my DNA, I think. So, you know, my new kind of mode, and I don't operate any companies. I'm not the CEO of anything. I'm sort of like, I call it putting a shark in your tank. I joined the board of companies. I joined their advisory board, their board of directors. And, you know, some of them are private, some of them are public. And, you know, I've got one that we, you know, went from 10 or 20 cents to about $4 a share, and one that went from $1 to $20. And, you know, so I love, you know, these public company kind of deals, because they're near and dear to helping some of these startups take off and become successful. So, had a lot of really great times doing a lot of this, and just continue to do that.
Well, we greatly, greatly appreciate your time. We know it's very, very valuable. And this is the last question here. With over 20 businesses and counting, getting to a point of your success as an entrepreneur, please explain why it's so important to leverage your brand around other key influencers.
So I think that's a very good question to close on. And it was funny because I just was talking about how I leverage my brand into other companies. So just to give you an example, a little company called Celsius, it's a public company. Last week we rang the NASDAQ bell. I got involved with them back in 2013, leveraged my brand into the company, did a lot of interviews and went out on a speaking tour with them and a road show and got some press. And then introduced them to Flo Rida, who had 20 million followers. And then that led to Russell Simmons, and that led to raising $15 million for them. And this company was a small penny stock, you know, stock was trading less than 20 cents a share. And so in doing some things, and I never take, you know, too much credit for things that I don't deserve. And, you know, but I'll say that I helped leverage my brand into this relationship. And so, but they had a great CEO and a great board of directors and a great team. But by bringing in a dream team of celebrities and influencers, the company has transitioned now. And last week on the NASDAQ bell, the stock, it tipped north of $4 a share from what was 10 to 20 cents. So this is a really cool thing I love doing. I love leveraging. And any entrepreneur that's out there that has any kind of following or buzz can do this by taking their strengths and adding it into another group, taking their expertise. Maybe you're a digital expert, a digital marketing expert. You can take that strength and leverage it for equity in companies. You can, you know, I say that, you know, people come to me, they say, I don't have any money. and I say, well, I have digital experts that might become a partner. I have lawyers that'll leverage their legal work for equity, and product developers and producers and, you know, digital experts, et cetera. So it's the wave of the future. And I think if you can get equity in deals, that ultimately is where you can take your brand, build your brand inside another group and leverage it for equity. And some of these things might take off. Who knows? They may end up being worth some big money someday. So I love the concept of leverage. And it's a great question to close on, because this is where ultimately the big money can be gained, is by having equity in the long run instead of just getting a paycheck or living week to week, month to month. Maybe take a little extra piece on the back end, so to speak, for equity every now and then.
Absolutely. And as you said it before, guys, as we wrap up the show once again, Put a Shark in Your Tank. It's also a best-selling book that Kevin was a part of. So I want to make sure that you guys also get to his website again, kevinharrington.tv. You'll see all the products. You'll see all the awesome things he has going on, but you'll also see the books that he's either written or co-authored part of. And once again, another piece of his resume, best-selling author. Kevin Harrington, thank you for joining us on Define Your Brand, sir.
Thank you.
Nice. Hey, two thumbs up for you guys. Great show today. Proud to be part of it. And let's get the word out to everybody. Great being here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.